Welcome to the Butts in the Seats podcast, episode number 109.
What an episode we have chosen to do for 109.
Are you very selective about your 109 episodes?
No, but I just know that we're right up to that 110 again, and the next episode is going to have to be the shot, and this is not a great way to lead into it.
Would you rather this been the one?
Probably, yeah. Because this episode wasn't that bad. But the fact is that if the thunder wasn't bad, the nitro's not going to be good.
Well, maybe they got the bad one out of their way in the last one. But I'm Nick alongside Emily.
Hello.
Emily, how you doing today?
I am doing good. We were having a pretty chill day after a long work week. So it's actually been a nice weekend of just actually having a weekend. Which
yes.
is rare for us.
Rare occasion of watch and record same day because it's like, we just wanted to enjoy our night last night.
Yeah, we actually did not have a myriad of things to do this weekend, so we actually just enjoyed our time. It's rare.
So, Emily, what is it we do here on this program?
We really are not consistent on when I say this and when I don't. Well, Nick, we take a week-by-week look at the slow but inevitable downfall through WCW, Nitro, and Thunder from the late 90s to the early 2000s.
Oh, and the pay-per-views.
WCW as a whole.
Yeah,
I feel like if I just said WCW, you would be like, well, this is a Thunder. So I had to put that little caveat in there.
Well, yeah, we don't really do a ton of Thunders. I think this is our third one.
That's kind of why I felt like I needed to throw that in there. Because, yeah, this is a Thunder that we're talking about.
Yes, the May 24th, 2000 Thunder filmed the day before. So they did have time to potentially edit this if they wanted to.
I mean, they didn't, but they had the option.
Yeah, it's live from Saginaw, Michigan.
Saginaw. And I have no idea where on the mitten Saginaw is. I didn't look.
I don't know. So I don't really have any backstage notes for the show, considering we would have hit all of them on the Nitro.
True. This kind of is the backstage notes.
Yeah, I should say there's none up front, because I do have some as we're going through.
Oh, no.
But this show, like I assume most Thunders do, starts with a Nitro recap.
Yeah, probably most do this.
I did note they did not show two things. One made sense, the other one I could make a case for. But they did not show David Flair putting Reed Flair in the figure four, just generally shoving him over.
Yeah, they showed him, fighting him.
And then they did not show the blood drop missing.
You know what else they didn't show, which apparently happened that we didn't know about? Apparently there's an engagement.
We'll get there. We see earlier today, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner arrive, and Tony Schiavone is talking and then just immediately cut off by the actual Thunder opening.
Yeah, this was bizarre. Right off the bat, bizarre. Cut to them in a car, Tony Schiavone starts talking, ah, fuck you, it's time to intro.
The Thunder opening, then the opening pyro, and Tony Schiavone notes, we're still 18 days away from the Great American Bash.
That's so long. That is so long. 18 days is so long in wrestling.
Hey, it's this and then two more Nitros.
That's too many. It's not too many. That's not a crazy build. But oh my God, in this setting, it's too long.
We get the old team of Tony Schiavone, Mike Tenay, and Bobby the Brain Heenan on commentary.
Ugh. We've really missed Bobby.
Yeah. I think this will actually be the last time we see him.
Ugh.
I remember noting when he was gone last time, I'm like, I don't really know where he jumps around to, but it was the last of him on Nitro.
What a guy.
It's a better team than Tony, Scott, and Mark.
I mean, yes.
Show opens with Chris Candido and Tammy coming out to the ring, and they grab a mic. Candido says it feels so good to be the first couple of sports entertainment, and I'm like,
they're really leaning into that moniker.
Didn't they used to call themselves the first couple of professional wrestling?
Yes, they did. Oh, who got in their ear? I was like, ugh.
Vince Russo.
I think it's really weird, Tammy's outfit. I don't think anybody else will have a problem with this, but it's funny to me that she comes out with a bedazzled robe, dressed to the nines, a cute little dress, her hair done, her makeup done, barefoot. Why are you not wearing shoes?
I think it's just, I don't feel like taking them off to interfere.
I guess, but I don't know. It felt weird to me. It always feels weird to me. When Mona comes out and she's not wearing shoes, that's weird to me too.
Yeah.
Not she's not on this episode, but just in general.
I legitimately don't know if we see Mona again, I think
probably
I would
say. Probably not. Medusa does it too sometimes, but she is a little bit more selective on when she's not wearing shoes.
Candido hypes up Tammy and calls a woman in the crowd fat. Tammy has advice for all the women here. They need to have it going on, but you beasts here definitely don't.
That's not advice. It's really not advice.
She then does her robe removal and, dances on Charles Robinson a little bit.
Yeah, Charles Robinson looks a little uncomfortable in that segment, too.
The artist then comes out to the ring with Paisley. Paisley has a mic, and she's just
and shoes.
She's like, this is the artist, formerly known as Prince Iaukea.
Thank you.
That's it.
Paisley / Parsley is such
a pretty
person.
You used to get mad at me for that.
I know, but I wrote it down, and it's kind of making me giggle, so I'm going to keep going with it. Parsley is such a pretty woman. She's gorgeous. Her hair does her zero favors. It just looks so ratty and messy, but not in a, like, intentional way. In a, like, this is a new wig and I haven't brushed it out sort of way. Or, I don't want to say this, but, like, is she going for JBF hair?
I don't know.
If that's the goal, she's succeeding. But I don't think that that's the goal.
We then suddenly cut to backstage. It's Mean Gene Okerlund here with Daphne wearing a all-black dress.
All-black wedding dress.
Yes, because she's immediately asked, where's your fiancé, David Flair?
To which we both paused the show and looked at each other like, excuse me? What did we miss?
And we cannot find it. The only place it didn't look would have been WWE Saturday Night, but that would have been before Nitro anyway, so.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, she also notes that she's wearing the all-black wedding dress, and she's like, I wanted a ring, but not that ring. I'm like, so you don't have the ring yet. So then,
are you engaged?
Yeah. She kind of hums, here comes the bride, and then makes her entrance for a three-way dance. It's Daphne versus Chris Candido versus The Artist for Daphne's Cruiserweight title.
Why? I don't know. I have a lot of problems with this.
Daphne's surrounded by all four other people, but then ducks, so everyone just kind of brawls with each other. Miss Hancock comes out immediately. Candido and The Artist try to have a match as Daphne stops pin attempts. Both men knock each other down, so Daphne tries to pin both men. Crowbar suddenly runs the ring, dives from the apron to inside the ring, and brawls with The Artist. Tammy buys Miss Hancock's clipboard off of her, and the way she does this is by slipping some bills from boob to boob.
Yeah, and that was the weirdest part of it. Like, if she had just pulled it out of her boob and handed it to Stacy, or Miss Hancock, what's Stacy? It would have been fine. But the fact is, she took it out of her boob and put it into Stacy's boob. Stacy's hand never touched this. So in a court of law, there is a chance that this could be construed as Stacy never accepted the money.
She does willingly give over the actual clipboard, though.
Semantics.
Candido holds up Daphne, but it's the one thing they didn't want to happen is Daphne ducks. Tammy hits Candido with the clipboard. And Candido falls backwards in like a tiger suplex sort of position, but ends up with Daphne on top of him, and Daphne gets the pin.
Daphne wins!
So Daphne is still the Cruiserweight champion. Crowbar and Daphne celebrate. I was like, okay, I guess Crowbar's fine with having lost the title on Monday.
Yeah, he doesn't really seem fazed at the fact that like he was not part of this.
Yes.
It's strange. I think that they should be the ones that are engaged.
She looks so happy after she wins. She's like, yes!
I did it! Daphne and Crowbar are a better couple than Daphne and David.
Ugh, Chris Candido then kind of like stumbles to the back.
He sells this so well. Like, he got hit with a clipboard. He probably got hit pretty hard in kayfabe, whatever. But he sells this and he's like wobbling and like about to fall over. And Tammy has to catch him. Like, the man's an actor.
Well, he sells this so well that Tammy decides to follow up his stumbling performance with the stumbling performance of her own on Nitro. This is the last appearance of Tammy on the podcast.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Tammy, on Nitro, they find drugs in one of the bathrooms, and it gets traced back to Tammy, and then they're like, you have to do a drug test, and she goes, oh, I guess someone drugged me.
Are you fucking kidding me?
This is it for Tammy.
Oh my god.
She's supposed to do a segment on Nitro, and they're like, no, we're not.
Oh my god. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Wow.
They did not. She did. Candido sticks around a little bit, but they get rid of her.
Take your bare feet and get out of here.
Yeah, she, I think to this day, denies it, but it's like, your word has lost some credibility over the years.
Your excuse is, oh, someone must have drugged me. You sound like a kid whose mom just found pot in their room. Like, it wasn't me. Somebody planted it there, honey.
Yeah, after people noted that you were in the bathroom for a very long time.
Come on, girl. I'd respect you more if you just owned up to it.
Yeah, so that's it for Tammy. I don't really feel the need to do a whole thing here. I don't think ECW touches her again. I know WWE doesn't, so I think she's just...
just got some sunny days ahead of her.
No, not really.
Well, when does the porn happen?
Quite a while from now. So, Emily, any thoughts on this actual match?
I kind of liked seeing Taff, Cappy, and Parsley just to remember that they exist.
Yeah.
The hat on Taff was something else. Did you even notice it?
Oh, I do want to know that your full sentence there was the hat on The Artist formerly.
Taff. It was like a scarecrow's hat. It didn't have any like structure to the brims. It was just kind of floppy.
Well, that works because I've always noted that Paisley looks like something straight out of Batman and Robin. So.
Oh, then they're going for that vibe. Cool. They're on brand, is what you're saying.
I will note, he's not in that movie.
Okay. Oh no, Taff Cappy didn't get his Hollywood run.
No, I meant Shocking. The Scarecrow.
Oh!
No, that's Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, and Bane.
I don't care enough.
Moving on. Backstage, a lot of that today.
A lot of that today. It's thunder.
The powers that be discuss all the problems they both have, and Eric Bischoff is just stressed out for this whole show.
The crowd that is with them, though, let's take note of who is sitting on this couch with them. Next to Eric Bischoff is Kimberly. Next to Kimberly, the cat.
Yeah, he's just now part of the entourage.
And then there's Russo, and then next to Russo, fucking Liz is still here, ladies and gentlemen.
The cat who...
But why is the cat here?
Mild spoilers, will become commissioner for a little bit at some point.
Oh, God.
I have, like, randomly stumbled into finding out that, like, four different people become commissioner by the end of WCW.
And I'm like, even have a commissioner.
I think Lance Storm becomes commissioner.
Lance Storm, I'm not even here yet. Yeah.
I think Flair might even get it one more time by the end.
But commissioner's not really a thing since, like, Kevin Nash claimed it once.
Yeah, what the, that just
that just kind of dis- that it dissolved.
Well, because Jeff Jarrett then claimed to be the commissioner, and
who?
Then and then the reset. So Russo tells Kimberly to watch Liz and gives her a baseball bat. Kimberly asks how this will make her a star, and Eric Bischoff is just like, "Fuck,
shut
me.
Up." Even Eric is just like, "Go the fuck away, just go away."
We see earlier today, Ralphus and Norman Smiley are selling various cosmetics.
Yeah, they've gone into retail. So now they're selling, like, lotion and I saw, like, nail polish remover and shampoo, I guess? I don't know. Very random body and skincare shit.
Okay. There is a Chekhov's gun here that I don't know was either so poorly delivered on that it was delivered or it just kept being set up and nothing happened with it. Because... they're selling the cosmetics and the lotion and all that. Later in the episode,
I did catch
Kimberly
this.
Complains about lotion and tells security to go get her more. So did she got one of the ones they were selling? Or I thought they were going to go...
They never went
it's
back to it.
It's half a joke.
It is half a joke. Because I did catch that too. I thought she was going to do something with it. But the whole crux of that later on the show was, this is garbage. I need my stuff.
Yeah.
Like, go get me the better stuff. Like, kind of selling what they're selling is shit.
Yeah, I was ready for this to somehow turn into a dyed hair thing.
Oh.
Anyway, the actual wrestlers. Norman and Ralphus are trying to sell the stuff. Shane Douglas walks by. Hey, here's the franchise. He has money.
I want to note that you just mentioned the wrestlers and said Ralphus. So, just want to put that one in there for you.
Shane Douglas just suddenly goes, I gotta have a match tonight. Why don't I face you guys in a handicap match?
And then Norman's like, but we're fired.
Ah, it's fine.
Okay.
It's grand.
All right.
So they give him some lotion on the house.
On the house.
That's my thought is, the lotion then is handed off there. Did somehow this end up in Kimberly's hands?
That's the same bottle that Kimberly has later.
Okay.
Or at least the same brand. Maybe not the exact same bottle, but the same brand.
So we have a handicap match coming up in a second. Before that, backstage, Kimberly just kind of whinges to Liz.
Whinges?
Liz does not want to be here for real.
Yeah, not Liz the character, Liz the human being.
Yes, we are on borrowed time for Miss Elizabeth.
Elizabeth would rather be anywhere else on this planet than in this setting.
I'm torn, admittedly, because they want to have her do a bunch of shit that she is not necessarily qualified for. Mm. But the list of shit she's qualified for is so small that I'm like...
I was going to ask you, what is she qualified for? Stand and look pretty? I mean, I'm sure she has other skills, but that's the only thing that's been marketed to me.
Yeah, but they, like, want her to start doing, like, brawls and, like, catfights. And...
she's not that kind of girl.
Yeah. Yeah, there was an interesting vibe here of they almost made it seem like Liz was, like, way younger than Kimberly, the way, like, the dialogue was. It was like, you know, you can be my assistant, like, I'll look after you, you know, you gotta, like, follow me. And I'm like, she's older than you.
I did not get that vibe.
I think this would have worked better with, like, a Stacy, I guess is my point.
Potentially. Yeah, I got it more as, like... I am so far above you that, I can help you out. You can be my assistant.
Yeah, again, that's why I think it'll work better with somebody who actually isn't arguably more famous in wrestling.
But it's almost more demeaning.
Yeah.
I think they're going for a demeaning angle. They're not really building Liz up.
Yeah. So let's go to our second match. And it's the second title match of the night. It's for the hardcore title. It's Shane Douglas versus Norman Smiley and Ralphus. We'll get there in a second.
Question mark, question mark.
Shane Douglas grabs a mic and says the crowd should be applauding him for taking out Funk. He then just suddenly starts shitting on Ric Flair because he's Shane Douglas. Why not? And
calls him Dick Flair. Yeah. Calls him a cancer.
That's just his...
Gizimic.
But that's just his reflex. Just,
maybe.
So he knows that he's a giving sort of person and explains the upcoming match for the crowd because I guess maybe they didn't see the backstage segment. And we get Norman Smiley and Ralphus coming out. Ralphus comes out in the local mascot costume, which is a gorilla suit.
Okay, this can't be true. This is the most generic-ass gorilla suit I've ever seen. This is not a local sports team's mascot.
Yeah, I mean, it is very generic. My only thought is, based on the size of the arena, maybe they just have, like, a very super generic, like, get hype mascot.
Maybe. Remember Willie the Wildcat?
Yes.
Where's
Wildcat
he?
Willie, please.
Sorry, Wildcat
Scott
Willie.
Steiner killed him. Yeah, like a random gorilla costume at a basketball stadium is not the craziest thing, which sounds really
stupid.
That's
a crazy sentence to say that's not crazy.
But immediately we're like, why is he all covered up? That's kind of interesting.
And he has what is very obviously fat padding on his stomach and his butt.
Yes, and he also moved a little coherently when he first came out. And I went,
yeah, you said, no, this man's too animated. This isn't Ralphus.
So we then see Eric Bischoff and the Cat watching backstage, and they're mad at Shane Douglas, but make no attempt to stop or help this match.
I'm mad at you, Dad.
Douglas dominates early with cane shots, including, like, keep trying to shove the cane up Ralphus's ass.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
By the way, we're just going to call him Ralphus.
There's a lot of ass play in this match.
Norman bonks Shane with the trash can shots, and Ralphus just kind of throws the lid at him. We get a wind-up slam, but Shane stops a big wiggle. Douglas hits more cane shots and a swinging neck breaker. Ralphus just keeps going after the ass and hits a suplex on Norman Smiley. For some reason, Ralphus just refuses to attack Shane Douglas. I don't really get what they're going for here.
I think that they were really trying to sell that this was indeed Ralphus, and Ralphus is a little bit of a coward and not very powerful, so the hits that he does land are very weak, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Ralphus isn't cowardly, he's just clueless.
That is an important distinction, you're right.
And I think some of that is just... He doesn't fully understand how to do wrestling.
Well.
Because he's Ralphus.
Yeah.
Douglas throws Norman in and out of the ring. Ralphus, like, goes to leave and then comes back. The franchise keeps working over Norman, and this match is going way too long.
Yeah, they really drag this. They stretch this, I should say, a little too long.
Ralphus gives Norman a table, which is set up in the ring. Douglas hits a chain shot on Norman and then a front-falling suplex through the table. Ralphus then suddenly gains confidence, hits a punch combo with the chain, and then a chair shot to Shane Douglas. Ralphus pins Shane Douglas to win the Hardcore Championship, and then unmasked to reveal it's Terry Funk.
What?
Which I was also debating, because commentary will not shut up about Terry Funk in this match. I'm like, do you just have no other story, or are you trying to foreshadow?
There was a point, though, where like we hypothesized that this was Terry Funk fairly early on, but there was a point, as this was stretching, where I was like, maybe it's not. Like, he's really bad. Like, he's being really bad. Maybe it's not Terry Funk.
Yeah, he kept picking his crack.
Yeah, he was doing stuff that, like, didn't scream Terry Funk to me, but then he started hitting the punches. And I was
the problem was, because this match went so long, Terry Funk only had 2 minutes of Ralphus material, and he had to stretch that to, like, 8.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, so Terry Funk is now the Hardcore Champion again. Ralphus, I guess, is fine with this. Oh, I guess they do note later he was paid, so...
Good. At least that man's making money somehow.
We'll get a little more on this story throughout the night. But next up, Vince Russo, David Flair, security, and a random old lady head towards the ring.
Yeah, we don't know who this old lady is at first.
Daphne might be with them. She joins them in the next segment. We also see Kevin Nash and Scott Steiner in the building wearing ski goggles.
Like, yeah. Oh. Why? Just because Michigan?
No, they're ready to get maced. That's what, because they keep pulling out the mace to spray him in the eyes. That's... Tony Schiavone makes the smallest mention of maybe he was Mike.
Who
tonight.
Keeps pulling out mace?
Vince Russo.
Has he been macing them?
Yeah, that's been a common thing the last like 2 weeks.
Blood has been a common thing the last couple episodes. Yeah. I don't think I've caught on to the mace.
Yeah, maybe not as much Kevin Nash, but like Lex gets maced almost every fucking week.
That's true. But Lex wasn't with them.
Yeah. They watch the show. I don't know, man.
Fucking. Okay.
By the way, it never happens where they get sprayed and the goggles come in. Like,
literally never. The goggles are useless. There's not even a blood drop.
Like, goggles do nothing. Or it was pointed out, by the way, on the last Nitro that the bloodshot incapacitated Kevin Nash, but Vince Russo was totally fine.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
We didn't get a fairly lengthy Ric Flair-Vince Russo clip package because there's no music. It's just clips cut back to back to back.
Yeah, I don't think we needed this. We kind of fast-forwarded through it, if I'm honest. We didn't need this. This is just a recap package. We're literally padding time.
The Russo group makes their entrance, and commentary mentions that the woman is Miss Snodgrass.
Mrs. Snodgrass.
Yes. Vince Russo is wearing a Soprano shirt because I'm from New York.
Oh, I had no idea.
It's a very harmful stereotype. Russo introduces the old bag.
Which is, like, offensive.
Yeah. I forget the actual line to set it up, but it's like, who is this woman? And Mean Gene goes, Oakland?
No, he literally says, let me introduce you to this old bag. And he says, Oakland?
Apparently, no. It's Reed Flair's sixth grade teacher who just talks about what a piece of shit Reed Flair is in class, which is mostly consistent of general, you know, 12-year-old behavior. Yeah. The one exception would probably be...
The shoe mirrors.
Yeah, he puts mirrors on shoes to look up the girl's skirts. I'm like, ew.
The things that she cited were, she wanted to call his parents, and so Reed gave her the number of his best friend. Like, I've done that. Don't tell my mom. He taught the class to make flatulating noises. Oh no, fart noises.
Russo tries to imply that after school they're like drinking or like...
Does he? I didn't catch that.
Or like doing cocaine or something, and she's like, they're intaking helium.
Yeah, yeah.
She missed whatever cue he was going helium. For. Yeah, there's not anything to this woman. I don't even know why. This is just a Vince Russo special of, let's bring out someone who is clearly an actor. This is just a single person. This is your life.
Yes. This is just, like, stupid. And there was no follow-through or follow-up with this either.
Russo hands the mic to David, who has one thing he wants to say. Shut up!
But that's not the thing.
No. He says he hopes Reed is crying, and because his dad can't wrestle the Great American Bash, David challenges Reed to a match at the Great American Bash.
To which commentary is like, he's a literal child. He can't do that.
So we get the Wolfpack music hitting. Kevin Nash comes out in a FUBU baseball tank.
What is FUBU?
It's a very early 2000s brand.
Oh, it's a brand?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I thought it was like a saying. Or
no,
a
no. One of the guys from Shark Tank founded the brand.
Have we had this conversation before?
Yes.
Wow.
But
that was such a deja vu moment.
The problem with him wearing the FUBU thing for me is... It's so close to Fun B that I'm like, it feels like it should just be that.
Yeah. I think that's what I was thinking of, like, fuck you, Bischoff. Ooh.
God, you're such a wordsmith.
Yeah, right.
Nash says he wants to come down and kick Russo's ass, but first, here's Scott Steiner, because the fact that we saw them together twice already, but they had to make very separate entrances.
Yeah. Even what you said was a little too coherent, because... Kevin Nash is like, there's nothing I want to do more than kick your ass, Russo. And I'm gonna. Scott wants to, too. Like, that's kind of it.
I'm waiting for Kevin. Nash!
Nash!
So Steiner comes down to the ring with him. Shakira and Madeja are here, too, but they stay on the ramp.
Smart ladies.
Nash and Steiner hit the ring, take out every security guard with just one punch each.
Kind of shit security.
There's one that we noted, the mullet on him. It's like, that's definitely a wrestler.
Oh my god, the mullet on this man. It would put Sexy Boy to shame.
The heels cower in the corner, and Russo throws David to Nash, and Nash hits a jackknife. Russo then hides behind the teacher in the corner. He's like, go ahead, Nash, hit her. It's like, Jesus. Nash then grabs the mic, and he's like, I just want to talk.
Liar! 10 seconds ago, you were at the top of the ramp saying, there's nothing I want to do more than kick your ass, and I'm going to.
I'm going to. So the lady gets out of the ring. Nash immediately grabs Russo by the throat. Steiner grabs a mic and just starts screaming at Russo. I told you, bring your New York ass Michigan to kick your ass, my friend.
That was good. That was a good impression.
So we want a three-way dance tonight. So yeah, there's a title match now. Jeff Jarrett versus Kevin Nash versus Scott Steiner. Russo agrees under much duress.
Yes.
And
but bear in mind, he is the booker of the show, so yes. He has the power to do this. Bear in mind.
Are you sure about that? Because when he goes backstage, Jeff Jarrett's like, who do you think you are making my title matches?
Booker of the show. It's his whole job to make that match.
I'm
Why are
chosen
you
one.
Why are you mad?
By the way, this is the first appearance of Jeff Jarrett tonight.
Who?
Sorry, random NPC number 4. Random champion extra.
Like, yes, it kind of sucks for you. It does. This is a shitty situation for Jeff Jarrett to be in. But also, of all of the people that can make that match, Vince Russo's the only one that can. He's the only one that can make that legitimate. So, like, sorry, sucks for you, man, but it still happened, and it's his whole job to make a show and a match.
We then see Eric Bischoff and the cat scolding Shane Douglas, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, fair. Then again, he did put Shane Douglas in charge of Thunder a couple weeks ago, such,
yeah, it's cool,
which I think was only meant to be 1 week, but then they realized, oh shit, we taped this back-to-back, so it had to be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff tells Shane Douglas to take care of Terry Funk, which basically just implied murdering him.
Yes. Get it done, is kind of what he said.
We then get the Filthy Animals versus the Misfits in action. Kind of weird to do on a Thunder with no announcement.
But with the quality of the match that it is, I'm kind of glad that it didn't have an announcement.
Yes. By the way, this is also a 8-person elimination match.
Oh my God.
The Filthy Animals come out to what might be a new dance theme.
100% a new theme. This is one even I clocked. This is a new theme, brother.
Juventud Guerrera cannot figure out the silhouette entrance. He keeps moving.
Yeah, he doesn't get it.
Not actually my best bit, but goddamn, it's close. Conan grabs a mic. Where are my dogs at? Shut up. No one asked you. Feel that. That's enough.
That's enough. Very same energy. Like, you asked a question. What do you mean nobody asked? What do you mean?
He also says, why you guys are calling yourself soldiers when we're the original soldiers. Hoodie-hoo! And I'm like, oh,
we don't
no.
even talk about the No Limit Soldiers.
The MIA's music hit, they jogged the ring. It's like, okay.
Oh,
Misfits in action clear the ring as everyone splashes Disco in the corner. Notably, commentary says, don't expect a lot of tags in this match.
I think they were trying to say that as like, oh, this is going to be chaos.
Yes. However,
it's not.
Major Guns rips off her top and low blows Disco. She is wearing a top underneath.
Yes, she's wearing like a bra, bralette.
Hoovy and Chavo start with everybody else in the apron. It's very much settled down. Expect a lot of tags in this match.
Yeah. It slows down to a halt at one point.
Now, that said, I didn't even note it here because it was nothing to me in the moment. Part of clearing the ring was Hoovy gets thrown to the floor on top of Conan, who like catches him. You know, that's the spot. Conan tears his triceps.
Tears his triceps?
Yes.
Oh.
There's the current CM Punk injury. Oh, I guess maybe by now he might be cleared.
I
but
think he's fine by now.
Yeah.
It's work, brother. Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see like how that happened.
It's just...
just a weird catch?
Yeah, it's just weird things.
Muscles are fragile.
I don't know if it was torn triceps or like an injured elbow, but like Wade Barrett had that happen to him too, where it's like someone went to go do a dive and he just landed weird on the on the way down and yeah.
Oof.
Now, weirdly, Conan does wrestle in a couple weeks, but it doesn't wrestle until like Halloween Havoc after that.
So I'm wondering if like he thought he was fine, he didn't get a good medical clear, well, and based then they're like, he's probably fine.
Based on what isn't the match that I saw he's in, I think maybe he takes a big boot and that's it.
Oh, okay.
That is one of the most egregious Kevin Nash matches to ever exist.
That's saying a lot.
Yes.
Yikes.
It is going to be your worst bit.
Oh no.
Because additionally, we were noting, oh, it's weird that Ray is here wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Ray is still, I guess technically he's cleared, but he's like, hey, I'm hurt. Can you please stop putting me in matches?
Poor guy.
Because he's also in that match.
Ooh.
But yeah, Hoovy and Chavo were starting. Chavo hits a running, diving shoulder block from the ramp to in the ring, which I'm like, cool spot. Crowbar did do it earlier, though.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, going back to the Ray and Conan thing, I kind of think that Ray may have called an audible. Like, maybe there was more Conan spots slated, and Ray was like, fuck, I can do them. Let me just jump in real quick and do something. Like, maybe he wasn't supposed to take as much bumps as he did.
Yes.
Maybe.
We said his name earlier, but it should be noted that Disco Inferno is with the Filthy Animals.
Oh, I thought we established that last episode. Neither here nor
there. Well, commentary's been like, oh, he's so out of place here.
Well,
the group
two
seems,
things can be true.
The group seems fine with him. Yeah. Like, they're not like, what are you doing here?
They haven't gotten a lot of screen time.
Hoovy counters a Whiplash 2000 from Corporal Cajun. Sorry, yeah, he's not Chavo Guerrero. He's Lieutenant Loco.
Sorry, yes.
He tags in Ray. Titles. Ray gets hit with a Tilt-A-Whirl side slam and a shake, rattle, and roll. And this is where I noticed that Conan's not on the apron. Because it also was weird that Ray tagged in from Hoovy and then immediately tagged Hoovy back in like a second later. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they were
weird.
Calling it on the fly there because Conan got hurt.
Commentary finally notes that this is in fact an elimination match. Disco helps with a top rope powerbomb and Corporal Cajun is eliminated.
God.
Major Stash comes in, hits a big boot and taunts slash poses to zero crowd reaction.
Yeah, I really feel like you're giving this match more energy than it warrants.
A lot of things happened.
A lot of things happened while nothing happened.
Around here is where they're very clearly panicking. I feel like they were holding it a little together, and here just like,
maybe.
Randomly brawl. The heels keep having to, like, so awkwardly cheat, like, blatantly in front of the ref.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's but it's the new WCW and they're letting it go.
Relax, bro. Like, there's, like you said, so much is happening in this, but nothing is happening. There's a lot of, like, chaos energy, but no chaos happening. It's really hard to explain.
Yeah, Disco hits kendo stick shots to all the Misfits in action, and injured Rey Mysterio, he's done this before, hits a diving leg drop with a chair under his legs to Major Stash, and he's out.
Remind me where his injury his lies. Knee. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Would you believe Rey Mysterio has multiple knee surgeries in his life?
And yet he's still wrestling.
Disco hits a swinging neck breaker, but gets eliminated after a tornado DDT from Lieutenant Loco. Loco keeps doing okay, and Hoovy might be eliminated here, because Sean Stasiak comes out to, like, break up the pin. Rey Mysterio hits a Bronco Buster, and Booker T then runs out to make the save, despite being fired on Nitro.
Yeah, so this whole thing is boiled down to two people who were never in the match in the first place. Sean Stasiak and Booker T. Like,
Booker's rocking full camo, too.
What is happening?
The Misfits in action and Filthy Animals are brawling in the back for a second as we see Booker celebrating, and the ref just raises General Erection's
hand. Okay, so the match didn't end.
Oh, we didn't even know. They're calling him Captain Erection this whole time.
Yeah, they fucked up his title. So the match didn't actually end.
They just go, ah, you win.
Okay, because I looked down to write something down, and I looked up, and they were winning. So I was like, must have missed a couple of eliminations.
To be fair, if they're counting Hoovy as being pinned, then technically the Misfits in action pinned everyone who's cleared.
Okay, well.
That's not what they're going for here, but technically.
I was very confused, but I didn't want to acknowledge my confusion because I didn't want you to be like, no, this okay, is a fucking mess. Up. Okay, good.
But again, I don't know how much this was called on the fly because...
Because of Conan, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't even really acknowledge Conan, and then they go, they have the numbers advantage, and then all of a sudden, it's 2-on-2. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, they got a sign from the refs of like, yeah, pretend he's not here.
So yeah, Booker T is now with the MIA, but we'll get more on this later.
He does look great. Like, this outfit does a lot for him.
He's just not in the undies. That's what it is.
Yes. Correct.
Backstage, Eric Bischoff tries to mediate Horace Hogan, Kidman, and Torrey. Basically just says, just chill the awkward. Fuck out.
Yeah, because he's like, we're a family. I don't think so.
Kidman doesn't trust Horace. But I feel like they're not addressing why he doesn't trust Horace.
No, but you can definitely see it in, like, their nuances behind what Eric Bischoff is saying. Like, you can see it in Horace's face of, like, he has, like, I don't want to give him praise, but he's a good actor. He can show his emotion. So he's kind of doing, like, looks towards Torrey and Billy of, like, that's my girl brother.
Yeah, but the way they're verbally telling the story, or at least just Eric Bischoff is like, oh, yeah, because he's Hulk Hogan's nephew. That's why you don't trust him. Like, no, he's actively stealing his girlfriend.
He's actively cheating.
Why are we brushing over that?
Yeah, like, no, either they're bad storytellers, which is possible, or Bischoff is playing naive. I'm thinking it's the former.
Elsewhere backstage, Kimberly is still whinging to Liz.
Fucking whinging.
And once again, close to my best bit, but probably not.
This was on the short list for me, too.
Liz just tips over the chair, steals the bat, and runs away.
Yeah, Kimberly is like giving her the whole spiel of like, oh, I need an assistant. You can be my assistant, and you can take me to get my shiatsu massages and do all this, that, and the other. And Liz is just like, fuck you, and pushes her chair over.
Just tips it
and
over. She's wow. Goes, ow! Like, incapacitates Kimberly.
Yeah. Steals the bat, runs away. Great moment.
Which I guess we should remember this, because I feel like what happens later could happen here, but...
I should mention in this segment, Kimberly has an accurate opinion on broccoli in this segment.
This is what this fucking program has become. But go on.
Let me tell you about broccoli. So the segment opens with Kimberly talking to Liz about her broccoli preferences. And she says, like, broccoli should just be the florets. No broccoli should ever have the stems on it. And I'm like, correct. You are fucking correct. The only good part about broccoli that is worth eating is the floret. That is where all the flavor comes from. I don't know if it's all the nutrition, but that's the only part that I will ever eat. And that same opinion carries over from broccoli to lettuce for me. If you give me a salad and it's all stems, I'm going to throw it in your face.
You're rattling up the dog.
I am rattled. But that was the first time in a long time that I've been like, you know what, Kimberly, you're fucking right. Let's talk about broccoli.
Elsewhere backstage, Vince Russo is mumbling with Rick Steiner and Tank Abbott. And Tony Schiavone is like, what are they saying? And Bobby Heenan actually goes, if you shut up, baby, we'll fucking hear him.
I love Bobby. Bobby's great. We need more Bobby.
Elsewhere backstage, Shane Douglas is looking for Terry Funk.
He, like, attacks two PAs while he's looking for him. Like, what did the PAs do?
In the arena, Chuck Palumbo makes his entrance to
who
Lex
are you,
Luger's
Chuck
theme.
Palumbo? Yeah, he still has Lex's theme, so he really is.
No, this is the first time he's at it.
I thought he came out to it before. On Nitro, he's come out to it.
We noted how generic his music was last episode. So.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm 90% sure at least on one episode of Nitro, Chuck has come out to Lex's theme. Maybe like his first one because they're trying to like play
yeah,
up a little.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me.
I think that he has done this before.
I only really noted it because we talked about how bad his music was last episode.
No, true. But it really just feeds into the, who are you, Chuck Palumbo? You don't have a character. You're kind of nothing.
So he's here to face the wall, brother.
Commentary literally makes the note that the wall is just so big. He is so big.
They trade clubbing blows to start. For some reason, there's tables at ringside. The reason is, it's a tables match.
Never
Someone could have
that.
Said that.
No one ever tells us that.
The wall hits a suplex and then drops Palumbo on the ropes. Big boot from the wall and he signals for the table. Palumbo counters a move, but the wall grabs him and signals for a choke slam from inside the ring to the table at ringside. Chuck Palumbo ain't taking that bump, brother.
But you can also tell that he's not taking that bump because the wall is showboating for so long. I'm like, oh, y'all want to see me do it? Oh, I'm going to do it. Oh, maybe I'm going to do it. What do you think, Chuck? Should I do it? No. Like, no.
Wall ends up on the apron. Palumbo hits a muscle flexor shot on the wall who falls through the table at ringside. What? And Chuck Palumbo wins.
Yeah, this is when we're like, oh, apparently it's a tables match.
The wall sits up and just chases Palumbo off almost immediately.
Very Kane style.
Yes. This was a match.
Anyway, moving on. I have nothing to say about
that. Never mind that shit.
Nothing to say about that match. It was really nothing.
So, Emily, can I infuriate you for a second?
Oh, God.
What's Chuck Palumbo's whole thing right now?
He's imitating Lex Luger's whole thing.
So what would that naturally set up?
Lex being pissed at him for some reason? I don't know.
So, like a match between the two of them.
Sure.
You know what never fucking happens?
Oh, my sweet summer child. This doesn't infuriate me. This is not surprising at all to me.
Fucking Tank Abbott Honey. And Meng all over again.
Honey, baby, sweetie.
In my brain, I'm like, oh, they're doing that the Great American Bash. Nope.
I would not be surprised if Lex Luger does not show up again.
He takes some time off. He does come back, but...
This does not infuriate me in the slightest.
I'm infuriated.
Is it stupid? Sure. Is it annoying? Yeah. Is it surprising? Fuck no. We've talked about this. You showed me too much bad wrestling and set up too many like storylines that didn't follow through when I first started liking wrestling that like I don't expect anything to have follow through anymore. Even in real life when things have followed, like current day, when I say real life, current day wrestling, when things have follow through, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, you are very...
jaded?
Or I say... non-optimistic about the Wyatt Six.
I want to be optimistic. I am not, but I want to be.
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to do with them?
Backstage, Kimberly goes to Eric Bischoff and says that she lost Liz, and Eric Bischoff is just flustered and stressed and doesn't want to be here.
Kimberly says, housekeeping and babysitting are not my forte. Like, it's Eric's fault that she lost her.
We then get Eric Bischoff, Horace Hogan, Kidman, and Tori Wilson coming out to the ring. Bischoff grabs a mic and does like the, oh, I love this crowd thing.
Yeah, he has such a shit-eating grin. He has a very good smile for heel wrestling, which is such a strange sentence, but I stand by it.
Bischoff says the Great American Bash will be the day the music died. The Hulk Hogan music. The red and yellow pain in my, you know.
So you're telling me that Eric Bischoff does not want to be a Hulkamaniac?
No.
He doesn't want to have fun with his family and friends?
Emily, the Hulk Hogan music is going to die.
When the Hulkster's music goes to heaven.
They get Hogan chance and Bischoff's like, ah, he's not here. Shut up.
Shut up. He's not here tonight.
And he's actually not here tonight. Bischoff says they're all one happy family because Horace now knows what family is all about. Horace then grabs the mic and says he's been here for 3 years and seen Hulk Hogan ruin countless careers and starts saying something else. And Bischoff's like, that's enough. You said what you needed to.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know.
What was Horace starting to say?
I legitimately...
Was that a worker issue, brother?
I don't know. It's add to it. Again, it's a taped show. You could have just cut from that.
Yeah, or been like, can we take that again?
We get one of those later. But Eric Bischoff issues an open challenge for Kidman and Horace Hogan. Anybody? I know I said it 4 seconds ago, but wow,
no one's taking me up on my challenge. Wow, cowards.
We get Chronic answering the
challenge. Chronic.
No, it wasn't there.
I know, but it's there in my heart.
And commentary's like, hey, they might be the tag champions. Is this going to be a title match?
I guess we'll never know.
So it's Chronic versus Horace Hogan and Kidman. Chronic beat down Kidman, including a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker, as Eric Bischoff hops on commentary and is like, oh, these like so-called tag champions. You're running the company. If you don't know, how are we supposed to know?
Yeah, and commentary questions this a couple of times, too, of like, are the titles up for grabs?
Not even that. They don't know who the fucking champions are right now. Technically, it's still Buff Bagwell.
Oh my god, we're doing really, really well. Big ol' yikes.
Kidman counters a back suplex and hits a sad Kidman faction. Aloha Adams ends up with a full Nelson slam. A lot of rotating to get there. Kidman almost slips out of Adams' grasp, but manages to hit a Hurricane Rana. Horace refuses the tag and then says something to Bischoff. So Bischoff gets on the apron and Horace pie faces him. Horace grabs a chair from Eric Bischoff and then keeps threatening to hit him. They both then get in the ring and Charles Robinson like shields Eric Bischoff from getting hit with a chair. Brian Clark offers up Kidman to get hit with a chair, but Horace hits Brian Clark and then DDTs Brian Adams on the chair. And Horace pulls Kidman on top of Clark so he and Kidman win. Commentary notes they don't know who the tag champions are or if these two are on the same page.
We got nothing.
And what a fucking mess.
We got nothing.
As much as I'm not really enjoying the Kidman and Hulk Hogan storyline, Horace Hogan was not the special sauce that feud needed.
No. I'm curious to see how it works out with the Tory of it all, but he's not yeah. He's not what we need.
No. It seems like you're already setting up a feud for Kidman after Hulk Hogan, while Hulk Hogan should be the big feud.
Right.
In a locker room, the franchise confronts Norman, Smiley, and Ralphus. Norman says he doesn't know where Funk is, so Douglas punches him. But Norman does have the line, you know, how much you get paid? Well, double what you did.
Well, you're not wrong.
Douglas takes Ralphus to the ring and throws him in the ring, stomps him, so the Wall comes out to make the save.
That's the Wall, brother. Why?
Because they are kind of feuding, and they have a tables match at the Great American Bash.
I didn't even know they were feuding.
Yeah, they...
What a cold feud.
Well, they're feuding because Shane Douglas brought the Wall out to be his partner, and then Shane Douglas left the Wall behind to fight Chronic on his own. So that's the feud.
Cool. What a feud.
The Wall hits a big boot. They go to the floor. Shane Douglas just casually lays the Wall's head on the announce table. It's like, I'm going to go do a dive from the apron. No. Sure.
No.
So he jumps. The Wall catches him by the throat. Chokeslams Shane Douglas through the announce table. Yeah. And what's always kind of a cool spot.
Yeah.
Especially the little like ramshackled ones that WCW does.
Yeah. I mean, it was also very warranted.
So yeah, that's going to be a match at the Great American Bash.
Cool. We got 18 days to forget about it.
We go backstage. Mean Gene is here with the Misfits in Action and Booker T. But he's not Booker T anymore, Emily. Who is he?
He is G.I. Bro.
And broing is half the battle.
No.
Yes, that joke is staying in. Which also sets up our outro music for this show.
Oh, we didn't mention the Boise joke.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, before the Shane Douglas segment with
Ralphus. It's very critical that we hit this.
Before all of that we just talked about with the franchise and the Wallen brother, whatever. Tony Schiavone's talking about upcoming shows, and he says, like, they have a show coming up in Boise. And he goes to Bobby, he's like, do you know where Boise is? And Bobby, of course, goes, it's about 100 miles from Girlsy. I love him.
Emily's struggling, everybody.
I love him. It's funny. You laughed, too.
I did.
Do not bury me.
I laughed, but I didn't need to go back for it.
Oh, I had to. I made a note. I needed to talk about it. Ugh. I didn't really care about Shane Douglas getting franchised. The franchise got franchised. That's funny. But Girlsy is funnier.
Booker T is too good for this.
So here's my thing. Yes. However, if you're going to get fucked by WCW and you're going to get put into a stupid gimmick, Booker T is coming out on top with this. He looks good. He can sell this gimmick. He has all the words and the verbiage for it, because apparently this was his thing, like, what, you said 10 years ago?
Yeah, I don't think it's the same verbiage from then.
This could have been way worse. When he came out and said G.I. Bro and he looked at me, I was like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. And that's fine. We're not looking at Lieutenant Loco here.
I think he has this gimmick for 6 weeks or less.
I just really like the look. I love the all, ironically, I really love the all camo look. Like, especially on him. It just looks very cool, very powerful, very clean.
Well, because he's also wearing, like, actual color camo versus the bright like neon camo.
Yeah, that's stupid. He's wearing like real camo.
So G.I. Bro wants Sean Stasiak tonight.
Okay, we're also going to argue about this.
Can you copy that?
I'm like, ugh. I'm going to continue to call him Booker T.
I'm
going
to call him G.I. Bro.
His name is Booker.
He flat out said it was not.
He's a king.
I did know that they're like fine calling him Booker T again, right in time for him to change his name.
Right, right.
In the back, Vince Russo and Jeff Jarrett argue. Steiner does push-ups with one of the ladies on his back.
Kevin Nash is also prepping for their match later by drinking a coffee and, or air quotes around coffee, and reading a newspaper.
Kimberly tells security to go look for Liz and to get her more lotion, thus paying off the joke. I don't know.
What joke?
Then we get Sean Stasiak versus G.I. Bro.
Booker.
Bro still has his Booker T theme.
Don't call him Bro.
Too bad.
Ew.
Stasiak beats down Bro and does some Mr. Perfect mannerisms. G.I. Bro rips his pants off and chokes Stasiak with them.
This is how you do tearaway pants. This was so clean, so effective, so beautiful, so like well used. This is how you do tearaway pants. Take notes, Lex Luger.
G.I. Bro takes his vest off on the floor. And I'm like, all right, if he takes off all the G.I. Bro gimmicks, he's now back to being Booker T.
But his little undies say G.I. Bro.
Booker hits a clothesline in the corner and tries for a 10-punch spot, but is dropped on the ropes. Stasiak hits a diving clothesline from the top. Booker manages to counter a back suplex and eats a big clothesline. Stasiak locks in a rest hold for a second, but then manages to hit a gut-wrench powerbomb. And then Stasiak grabs a chair, Booker ducks it and hits a scissor kick and a Harlem sidekick as commentary just keeps masturbating about the lax DQ rules. We don't need to bring it up every fucking show.
Are they like getting hit for it in some forums or something online of like people saying, oh, they're going too easy on these wrestlers, whatever, yada, yada. Like, why do they need to keep bringing it up?
I don't know. There must be
some other discourse that we're not privy to.
We get a bookend to Stasiak, which I'm like, oh, that needs a new name. And G.I. Bro gets the win. Sean Stasiak hits Booker with a chair post-match, hits some stomps.
Who's the winner, brother?
Yeah, who's the real winner? This is actually a fine match.
I actually enjoyed this match a lot. Yeah. This is a pretty good match.
Minus the who's the real winner, brother, which kind of annoyed me. I'm like, oh yeah, I liked this. This was good.
Booker T is a good wrestler.
And Stasiak's fine.
He can carry his own. He was fine. And like, I like this new gimmick for Booker. I'm on board. I like it. It's better than whatever the rest of the Misfits in Action got.
You're telling me it's better than Huge Erection, Emily?
Yes. Major Stash.
We then see a previously recorded Mike Tenay interview with Sting.
This is an interesting interview. I kind of like this.
I didn't.
No?
No.
I like the glimpse into characterizations.
I liked it in theory, but in practice I wasn't as into it because Sting is just on one during this whole interview.
Yeah, he seems irritated that he has to be here. But like maybe in character.
I think he's just irritated he's still fucking working this feud.
Well, maybe.
Sting says that Vampiro is nothing to him and says he's better at mind games than anyone, including Vampiro. Mike Tenay asks what Sting sees himself in Vampiro. Sting says 10 years ago he was just as sick and twisted as Vampiro is. And, I, you know, 10 years ago, I had the same fire that Vampiro does now. And I still have that fire, so don't you even start on me, Mike Tenay.
Oh, my
it's like,
God.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah, he both, like, leaned in and detested the fact that he was being compared to Vampiro.
Sting gets agitated when Mike implies that Vampiro is getting under Sting's skin. He's like, he's not under my skin. I'm not annoyed, okay? And I'm like...
Lie better.
And then he gets asked about the Human Torch match, and he's like, yeah, I've never been in one. I think someone on fire to win a match is stupid.
But I never turned down a challenge. Like, even if I don't want to do it, I'm going to do it. Mike Tenay asks very simply, is this match worth risking your career? And then the lights go out.
We hear Vampiro answer. Mike Tenay immediately is calling for security. And it's very clearly a camera like fade back in because
half the set is on fire. Yeah. Yeah. So the whole set is on fire. I guess the curtains
set. It's a little like two little sections of pipe and draper.
But like highly flammable pipe and draper because this shit goes up quick and it's just gone. It's like paper pipe and drape almost. It was a cool visual. I don't know. I didn't mind this because I like getting into Sting's head. I like hearing from him. He's one of those people that I don't detest hearing talk. So I like when we can have these opportunities where it's literally just talk and you're not going to get interfered by fucking Russo.
Yeah, I just thought this was kind of, like it wasn't bad, but yeah, Sting's energy in this whole thing was kind of strange to me.
Yeah, but I think that that's kind of leading into that feud, you know? Like he's irritated that this feud is a thing. Both in character and out.
We then get Mean Gene interviewing Kimberly, who just complains like all women do. Ugh, God. That's the way this is written, is Vince Russo going, women always complain about their shopping and their shampoo, and it's like...
Bear in mind, Vince Russo's married. Vince Russo married a woman.
Do I need to remind you of that all women promotion?
Again, he married a woman. I need to meet that woman. Are you okay?
But yeah, it's just like, it's like every stereotypical, like, oh, my nails broke when I did this and they didn't have the, and this was the wrong brand, and I'm like, bud.
Okay. Have you ever broken a nail? Especially an acrylic nail. That hurts so fucking bad.
And
fight me.
In the middle of all this whinging, Liz comes up, attacks Kimberly, and like drags her off via a bandana.
She kind of like takes a note out of Booker's new tearaway pants and kind of gets something very similar to that, yeah, and wraps it around Kimberly's neck and like drags her out. It looked like the same tearaway pants almost.
Then we get DDP coming to the ring and says he has three words for Eric Bischoff. You really suck.
Tell him.
This was a bad promo from, no, from
this
DDP.
This is sad.
Literally, my note on that is hot start here.
And it doesn't get better.
Yeah, he's too fired up for the energy of this show, yeah, and the where he's at in the feud.
Yeah.
Because DDP says that Bischoff didn't make DDP. He busted his ass, and that pisses you off, Bischoff. DDP then notes that Bischoff stole his wife and had Mike Awesome take out Canyon, and shifts to Mike Awesome. Can I call you Mikey?
No, you cannot.
And then we get Liz dragging Kimberly the ring. He's like, oh, shit, look at this. So Liz bends Kimberly over DDP's knee. There's now a chair in the ring for some reason.
Yeah, why was there a chair?
And DDP spanks Kimberly while, like, going over the bad things she did in the background of this shot.
Oh my God, hold on. I hate this, so I'm going to run you through this because this is amazing. So while this whole uncomfortable scene is happening where Kimberly is bent over DDP and he's just smacking her ass, it's very uncomfortable. It's not sexy. Kimberly has gone back up the ramp in a very like, you know what? I've done my duty. Take your wife. Do what you will. So she's walking to go back and she turns to look back at the ring. Chuck Palumbo comes out, kidnaps her, and just takes her off the stage. They never cut to this once. This all happens in the background.
They kind of cut to it once,
but
it
was... they're cutting to the projector.
Yeah,
they're
that's...
the screen.
Because at the same moment, we see Mike Awesome in Canyon's hospital room, and it looks like we're cutting more to that.
But even the editors are like, this isn't important. Like, but Liz getting kidnapped in the behind this background is so like, what the fuck are we doing, guys? This is so stupid. I fucking loved it. I loved it. I wanted them to not get anywhere closer to where they were until she was fully off the stage. I wanted this to fully exist in the background. Loved it.
Yeah, so Mike Awesome is in Canyon's hospital room.
I would have loved it more if she didn't like struggle a little bit. She struggled a little bit, but not much. If she just allowed Chuck to pick her up and just flop her over her shoulder, that would have been perfect.
Awesome threatens to beat up Canyon and then tells the camera crew to like, all right, shut it down. I want to leave the less to DDP's imagination.
So he did nothing.
I continue to be mildly convinced that Canyon's going to turn on TDP.
He's going to come back and they're going to do like a brain damage angle.
Oh, God. During the break, TDP called for security to get to Canyon's room. And it's now time for our WCW Thunder main event. It is Jeff Jarrett with Vince Russo versus Kevin Nash versus Scott Steiner for the WCW title.
It's more so sold as a 2-on-1, but it is technically a 3-way dance.
Yes. After Scott Steiner comes out, Russo notes that he is now going to be the ref for this match. Kevin Nash's music hits, and Vince Russo acts surprised.
You booked this match.
Yeah.
Why are you surprised?
So...
you booked a match that Kevin asked for. Of course he's here.
Well, yeah, he asked for it, but Russo bails, so Kevin Nash follows him through the crowd. Despite the fact that you literally were choking him in the ring in the middle of the show.
Demanding a match with Jarrett, not a match with Russo.
Yeah.
Huh?
His commentary's like, oh, I guess this is a 1-on-1 now.
Yeah, that at that moment when they said that on commentary, you paused and I looked at you and was like, what did I just miss? You're like, nothing, nothing.
Steiner hits an elbow drop on Jeff Jarrett and then press slams him. Nash suddenly comes back to the ring and Russo appears on the stage with security. So then, because we can't have a triple threat match, Scott Steiner goes to fight Russo and security.
Oh my God.
For some reason, referee Billy Silverman stops Scott Steiner from using a bat on Vince Russo, who's not in this match. Why? Then we see, towards the stage, Tank Abbott and Rick Steiner have kidnapped Shakira and Medeja.
I totally missed that it was Tank and Rick Steiner.
Why
totally
is there that. So many women being kidnapped? Why is kidnapping
because
such a thing?
Because women are weak, Nick. Women are weak. They're just going to go outside and get kidnapped, Nick. It happens all the time in New York.
Scott goes to save them. Russo then gets in the ring, but Nash goes to powerbomb him. Jeff Jarrett stops that with a baseball bat and then hits uninteresting offense to Nash. We get a ref bump for literally no reason.
Because the referee doesn't fucking matter. Why are we bumping the ref?
Well, they do a ref bump because, oh, we're doing a title belt shot. Because they do the ref bump, belt shot, Nash wakes the ref up to pin Jeff Jarrett, and then Russo pulls the ref out of the ring.
Yep.
Why did you do the first bump?
Just fuck you, that's why.
Russo then guitars referee Billy Silverman, and Jesus Christ, he got all that
one. Oh my God, yeah, he took all of that. There was no... There was no, oof, I don't know what to say. It looked painful. It looked actually painful.
We get a chair shot to Nash. Russo takes forever putting on a referee shirt, but Nash kicks out. And I'm like, I don't think you were in a ref shirt on Nitro, were you?
No.
So you don't need to be in a ref shirt for this.
No.
We then hear that security has stopped Mickey J from getting to the ring. So Scott Steiner then emerges from backstage and like bulldozes all of security. Weren't you saving your women? Why are you back?
Because they were saved. They're fine. The way that he bulldozes them, though, it looked like a move out of like Mario or something, where you just like turn on a mode and you just run through. Like his arms were up and he just like
he got the star and just
yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
So Steiner then goes after Vince Russo. Kevin Nash powerbombs Jeff Jarrett and Mickey J counts the pin. So your new WWE champion. For the 16th title change this year.
Oh my God.
Kevin Nash.
Oh my God.
Nash celebrates 16. With Scott Steiner, who I guess was fine not winning the title.
Yeah, it's fine. Why wouldn't it be fine?
That is the show. Emily, thoughts on this main event?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Remember when you're not going to have cluster finishes here in WCW?
What the fuck? I don't know. There's nothing else to say. Because again, like, am I surprised? No. Is this going to last long? No. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to think?
All right. How long do you think Kevin Nash holds the title for?
How long did Jarrett hold it for? I think he holds it until not Great American...
For the record, Jeff Jarrett won it on Nitro. Was awarded it on Nitro the day before.
I think he has it through Great American Bash, but not until the pay-per-view after that.
Okay.
That's a long time. Especially for the amount of changes that we're having. But
yes, pay-per-view after that is Bash at the Beach.
I don't think he has it at Bash at the Beach.
Okay.
That's my final stance.
Okay.
I'm wrong, aren't I?
We'll have to wait and see.
I'm wrong. Nick has a really bad face when I'm wrong.
You're going to love the next Nitro.
It's going to be next episode.
You're going to fucking hate it.
It's next episode. Cool. This is me rescinding my guess, and now I'm saying it's next Nitro.
Thoughts on this show as a whole?
Not as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, this was... You know, I feel like it was necessary for us to watch because of the title change. But outside of that, you can really feel that, for the most part, Thunder is a holding pattern where it's mm-hmm. like, we really can't take a full step on stories. We can take a quarter or maybe even a half step.
This is the closest it's felt like they have gone in a while, at least, to taking that full step. Like, where most of it stayed stagnant, like, I feel like some story stuff happened here.
What comes to mind?
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily like a story thing per se, but giving Booker T the new character, like that's...
Yes, but he was also like openly with the MIA last episode and literally said, stay tuned for next week.
Sure.
That's what I mean. It's all little half and quarter steps. It's never...
If they didn't do the...
Liz getting...
re-kidnapped, then that would have been a storyline. That would have been a storyline jump. What else?
Daphne suddenly being engaged?
Yeah, but that also might be nothing. Yeah. That might be wrong. Terry Funk? Yes. Terry Funk being here still?
Oh, so I did show Emily the clip from the next Thunder of Terry Funk getting kicked by a horse.
Oh my God. And yelling at the horse. No, you deserved it. You disturbed the horse. It's your own fault. Well, Nick, that is the episode.
Yes, next up is the May 29th WCW Monday Nitro. We got two more before the Great American Bash.
But before that, we do have to get to our best bit, worst bit, and MVP.
We do.
Unfortunately.
So, Emily, what is your best bit on the show?
You're not going to be surprised.
No.
It's Liz. It's Liz getting kidnapped in the background. Tell me that's not the best thing that happened on the show.
The problem is that it just falls under the so bad it's good. And you get mad at me for that sometimes. Cause
I know. If I had to pick a best match, it was definitely the Booker T match.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Stasiak.
Yeah, that was obviously the best match.
I think that's the one thing that's like good as intended.
Yes, sure. Yeah, they didn't intend for the Liz segment to be segment. The Liz shot to be the best, to be good. But boy, was it.
So, Emily, what is your worst bid?
I am actually going to give it to a match. It was the Misfits versus Filthy Animals. Fucking terrible. I hated that match.
I think that one gets a little bit of a pass for me just because they're so panicked and going on the fly.
I guess they're panicked, but that panic wasn't matched with, like, creativity or good, or, like, they didn't have the good chemistry that kind of, like, improvisation needs. It was long, it was slow, it was a lot happening with nothing happening. It was just bad. It was hard to watch, which just sucks because I never want to give it to a Rey Mysterio match, ever. Yeah. But here we are.
I think I'm going to go with the main event just because it is the epitome of everything wrong with Vince Russo booking.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Like, it's wild to watch. Like, it's a rare worst bit where I'd be like, almost kind of go out and watch it. But yeah, my other thing I was thinking was maybe the Chronic and Horace and Kidman, but...
Maybe.
It's Kidman and the in-ring action was fine.
There's something there. There could be something there.
The problem was even the in-ring action for the main event was boring.
Yes.
Like, anytime I actual like in the ring work, I'm like, oh, there's nothing here.
Correct.
It's just smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
And then Emily, who is your MVP?
We can only do it one last time. It's Bobby Heenan, baby. For one more time. One last time for his funny little quips. Tell me where Boise is. Telling people to shut the fuck up so we can hear storyline happening.
That is a good one. I am actually going to go with a very weird dark horse that I stand by. In your worst bit, there was one person I felt actually held the match together, and that is Lieutenant Loco.
You're giving it to Chavo Guerrero?
I am. I thought Chavo did really well that match.
He did have a couple glimmers of good wrestling.
Yeah. I thought he held it together best of anybody, which is funny because
he held it together, Hoovy threw it apart.
Yeah, it's funny because he's not on the team of the person that got hurt.
No.
But yeah, I thought he looked good in that match. And,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Chavo Guerrero has ever gotten MVP.
I think you might have given him one. I don't know.
We'll have to consult the spreadsheet, brother.
Don't worry. We'll let you guys know next episode.
If not next episode, the next Bitsies.
Or you can look for yourself on all of our back catalog.
Oh, what a segue!
All of our previous episodes available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Samsung Podcasts, Deezer, everywhere besides SoundCloud.
Fuck yeah, Deezer. I want a Deezer sponsorship.
You would make too many D's nuts jokes.
I would. I'm so sorry. If Deezer, if you're listening, I'll try to read it back if you want to sponsor the episode.
You can find us on social media at Butts in the Pod everywhere except for Facebook, where it's Butts in the Seats Podcast. Plus, we have 16 bonus episodes over on the Patreon, 16. Including all of Hogan Knows Best Season 1.
Yeah, it was a time.
And we're chugging along through the new Monday Night Wars, or as Wikipedia calls it, Impact's move to Monday nights.
It's not really a Monday Night War, is it?
Yeah, we did Destination X. Pretty fun show.
That was a fun show. I enjoyed myself with that one more than I thought that I would.
Next up over on the Patreon is Bash at the Beach 94, because we are nearing the 30-year anniversary of Hulk Hogan coming to WCW.
Wow. What a time to be alive.
But all that's over at patreon.com/buttsintheseats. Emily, this is the last Thunder we're going to do until the last Thunder ever.
I'm not going to miss Thunder.
Yeah.
The last Thunder is going to be really fascinating.
Yes, I'm glad to leave Thunder to other podcasts.
Yes. I know there are a couple of podcasts out there that just do Thunder and like different eras and whatever. So if you love our Thunder episodes, other people do it too.
In a similar vein, I realized we're only ever going to review two Raws before WCW ends.
Really?
January 4th and then the one that's the night of the last Nitro. And even then, I think I'm going to do like a special spliced edit.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's going to be so fascinating. I mean, we've definitely watched that Raw before.
Yeah. Huh. But we got a long way to go before there, and still a little bit of ways before the Great American Bash. So until then, I'm Nick.
I am Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.